to see. I'm so excited. Neat to see. So we have been studying. This is really loud. You tone that down a little bit. Everybody hear me? Good?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. We have been talking about spiritual warfare. So we have my daughter, I think, and I think she's probably okay right now. So we're just going to roll. So our kids are going to stay in with us today. That's okay, because we're going to be talking about the same things, and they talk about the same things when they go back there. So again, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, just like we have been for the last few weeks. Last week, we talked about the fact that we can put on the shoes of the gospel. Okay, and the shoes of the gospel can give us peace so that when we enter into a situation, then we are going to be prepared for it, and it's not going to throw us off because we have peace. Because we have peace between God and man. And listen, if we have peace with God and between God and man, guess what? All's good, because that's the thing that really matters. Is that, do you have a good relationship with God? And you, through Jesus Christ, we can have that. And before Jesus Christ came, we did not have that. So, again, as we think about this, if we put on those shoes of the gospel of peace, then we will be able to stand when the devil attacks us. So this week, we're going to continue on this series through Ephesians. And I just want to start in 10. We're going to read through this one more time because this is what we're talking about, and this is the whole picture. And then we're going to narrow down on a smaller part of this. But in Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Amen, right? So this week we're going to be narrowing down into verse 16. And this is what it says. It says, "In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." So let me tell you something, and we talked about this the first week. There's an evil one, there's an enemy out there, and he's trying to take us down. And the Bible's talking here about the flaming arrows of the evil one, and what does that even mean? Well, if you look at warfare, if you look at history, throughout history, when archery came about, it really changed things. Because archery kind of leveled the playing field. No longer did you have to be this super strong person that could wrestle somebody into submission. Okay? Now you could stand, 100 yards away, fling an arrow at somebody, and kill them. Right? So armies would get together and they would volley, and you see a picture of some people volleying arrows up in the air. And what they would do is they would just shoot them. They weren't really aiming necessarily. They were just aiming at the big lines. They may have picked a point, but they didn't really care if it landed to the point they aimed. They just wanted to make sure it hit somebody, right? And that's kind of how the Satan works sometimes. He's kind of created this world in which there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And listen, if you're just living in this world, the chances are that something's going to hit you. There's going to be something, because we live in a world that was really designed by Satan, that we are really walking into a volley of arrows. There's going to be things coming at us all the time. And sometimes they all kind of come at us at once. Has anybody ever been there? Where it's like something bad happened to you and it all just felt like all this stuff was just happening to you all at one time? See, this is what Satan does. He just volleys arrows at us because he just wants to take us down. And truthfully, he doesn't care who he takes down. As long as it hits somebody. But see, we're not victims of that. Because Paul is telling us, guess what? God has given us a shield. Because if you look at war, if you look at how people did war, when arrows started becoming a big thing, they quickly said, wait a minute, there's a way to combat this. We have a shield. Okay, listen, the armor, the breastplate was not always that good. The belt wasn't all that good. The armor around the shoes, not all that good. Because those arrows coming from a long distance could sometimes penetrate those things. Could sometimes get in between the armor and still kill somebody. But they had these shields. And these shields they would hold out there. And they would hold against the volley of arrows. And those arrows would come down. They could stick in the shield, but it wouldn't get through to the person. So this is actually, when you're reading the scripture, it's interesting because the shield of faith, which is what Paul is saying that we have, is the first thing that becomes an active thing. Because everything else we're putting in armor-wise to this point is kind of passive. I put on my breastplate of righteousness and it protects me. Right? I put on the shoes of the gospel, it protects me. I put on the belt, it protects me. Right? But now all of a sudden, we're given a shield. And a shield can be directed. And a shield can be active. So when Satan attacks, I can put up my shield and I can block those arrows if I have that shield. Okay, so what does Hebrews say? It says, what is faith? Because if we're going to use this shield, we need to know what it says. But in Hebrews 11, it says, now faith, this is in verse 1, it's not up there, excuse me. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. So what is faith? It's just believing in something. And believing that the outcome is going to be good and banking on that and actually living that out in your life. That's what faith is. And it's funny because in Hebrews later, it says in verse 13, it goes on to talk about the hall of faith, which is all of these people through the Bible that we read about that had faith. And it kind of goes through one by one what they did and what God said, hey, these people had a lot of faith. But then it goes on to say this, says in verse 13, all these, talking about these people that they had just talked about, died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. So what is this saying? It's like these heroes of the faith that we talk about in the Bible, their reward wasn't what they got in the Bible. They were looking beyond that at something that they couldn't see. You know, when Abraham had faith and God said, hey, I'm going to, you know, make nations come from you and your descendants are going to be stars. Abraham couldn't see those things. But what he could, and what he did is he had faith, okay? What he could see was the goodness of God and the fact that God was going to take care of him and the fact that God has his own kingdom and that the kingdom that he's going to build, the faith that he's going to put, where he's going to put his faith is the kingdom of God and the fact that one day I'm going to be living with God. And it's going to be so much better than anything here that we have. And that's what faith is. When it comes down to it, spiritual faith is this. It's like, I know God is building a place for me. He's building a kingdom. Jesus Christ came so that he could establish his kingdom on earth, right? And one day I'm going to be living in that kingdom. So I'm going to go ahead and live today like I belong in that kingdom. Because that's where I want to be. That's what's important to me, because I actually believe what Jesus said. Because when you really believe something, you act on it, right? If I'm hiking in the mountains and I come up to a ledge, right, and I'm staring down at the ledge, I'm not going to walk over that ledge. Why? Because I believe that I'm going to die if I walk over this ledge. Okay, if you really believe something in your heart, you know it to be true, you're going to act on that. And that's what faith is. So we're going to talk about Abraham today. He's the father of faith, so you've got to kind of talk about him when you're talking about faith. But this, the Bible actually says this is he's the father of our faith, right? And we're going to talk about a story. It comes from Genesis 22. But before I do that, let me set this up a little bit. Because to really understand this, you really have to understand a little bit about Abraham. He used to be Abram, right? And then God gave a new covenant and renamed him Abraham. But throughout his life, he struggled having children, right? His wife, Sarah, could not get pregnant, okay? And at one point, because he was faithful to God, God comes and says, guess what? Sarah is going to have a baby. And I'm sure Abraham was like, yeah, okay, that's awesome, right? That's good. But then it was a while before that actually happened. But see, Abraham had faith in God. And eventually God came through. And when she was 99 years old, okay, which was old, Sarah has a baby. And at first, when even the idea was brought forth, Sarah laughed at it. And Abraham laughed at it. It was like, what? We're going to be old parents. But you know what? God came through. And Abraham saw that. And because he saw that, it grew his faith. But here he has this child. And this child, God is saying, your descendants and all these wonderful things that are going to happen from you are going to come from this baby. This child, Isaac. Isaac is going to be the start, and I'm just going to multiply it from here on out. So Abraham really sees Isaac as the answer to his prayers that he had been praying all this time to have a child that he can, you know, have his offspring and have the promises of God fulfilled. But then we hit Genesis 22. Okay? And it says in verse 1, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I tell you. You know, at this point, if I was Abraham, I'd be thinking to myself, what? but wait, this is Isaac, the one you told me you're going to answer my prayers through, and then you're going to make my descendants as numerous as the stars through, and you want me to sacrifice them? This is what I would be thinking. I don't know what Abraham was thinking. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you this. There was probably some questioning. You know, maybe he turns it back and says, you know, well, maybe I messed up. Maybe I did something and angered God, and God's no longer wanting to bless me like that. You know, maybe I messed up. Maybe God's got some crazy plan to give me another child he's going to bless me through. But there was a question, right? There was an attack on Abraham, I am sure, when God comes and tests him this way. And this is Abraham's response, which I love. There's no words, no nothing. It says in verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. He got up early to do something that to me makes no sense whatsoever. And I'm sure Abraham was thinking, this doesn't make sense. But this is what God's telling me to do. See, Abraham had faith in God. Not his own mind, not his own plans, not his own reason. He had faith in God. and God was telling him to go sacrifice his son. And guys, this was not far out of the realm of reality of where Abraham lived. Child sacrifice existed. Okay, there were other people serving demons or other gods that were sacrificing their babies to their gods. So this is not something Abraham's like, well, this never happened before. No, it was going around all around him. So when God says this, you know, I don't know what was going through Abraham's head. But early in the morning, he gets up early. He didn't wait. If it was me, I would have been dragging my feet. I would have been like, oh, I don't want to do this. It would have been like, I would have been rolling out of there like, you know, dinner time. You know, it's like, what can I do? God, you sure? Are you sure? But see, Abraham had already argued with God before on multiple occasions. When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham argued with God. He was like, whoa, wait a minute. There's some righteous people. There got to be. And God, you know, talked with him, made a deal with him, and they found out that there are no righteous people. God wanted to destroy the city because literally the city was evil. So Abraham had learned that you don't really need to argue with God. So he gets up early in the morning. He saddles his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son to carry it. And he took in his hands the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked together with the wood, with the knife, and with the fire. But no sacrifice, right? And here's Isaac. It's like, you know, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, said, my father, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked together. Again, Isaac's a little nervous here. Because again, they were in a culture where this happened. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now listen, I've heard a lot of people talk about this verse and say, well, Abraham knew that God was going to spare his son. But that's not what the Bible says. It says that Abraham was actually going to kill his son. He was going to follow the command of God because he had faith in God that God was good and that whatever God was asking him to do had a purpose beyond him. See, he was building a home elsewhere, not in this world, but in the next. That's where Abraham was building his home. And so he raised his hand to slay his kid. Something I can't even imagine doing. When I think about my kid, I'm like, I don't know. But see, this is the faith that Abraham had. But the angel of the Lord called on him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! He said, here am I. He's probably, here am I. It's like, okay. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, and said, Abraham, sorry, wait a minute, I just jumped, sorry, two slides. Behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided." So all of this, Abraham was willing to go through it. And they, listen, God even says, listen, you were willing to do this. This is not Abraham, oh yeah, God's going to stop me. No, he was willing to do it. God saw his heart. And he looks at this heart and he loved it. He was like, this is what you're willing to me to give your only son? What a shadow of what God's done for us, right? Through Jesus Christ. Is that he was willing to give his only son. He went through with it. Yet he spares Abraham. And because of this, the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemy. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." See, God responds to faith. It's just part of his nature, it's who he is. He loves faith and he responds. When you look at the heroes of the faith that Hebrews talks about, what you see is God continually responding to that faith. And this is Abraham who displayed such great faith. And because of that, his seed would lead to Jesus, a descendant of Abraham. The 12 tribes would come from Abraham. And God would preserve his people to the point of Jesus Christ where he could die and then preserve us. We are blessed through Abraham because he did this. Because God responds to faith. And Luke chapter 8 tells a story about a woman. It says a woman who would a hemorrhage for 12 years. She was bleeding for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. Came up behind him. This is talking about Jesus. And touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware the power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him. Now she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." See, Jesus responds to peace. God responds to, faith. He responds to our faith. When we reach out in faith, he can't help but respond. That's the shield that we carry into battle. When we hold that shield of faith up, it will block those arrows no matter what they come at us. We can stand against the arrows. We can, not only can we stand, but we can move forward. Because if you look at how people fought with shields and arrows, it's like they'd hold their shields up, they'd all hold them together, and they would just advance on the people with the arrows, shooting arrows, and eventually those arrows are no good anymore because you're too close. Right? This shield gives us mobility to go out there in the world and take ground for Jesus. Hebrews 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Again, if you have faith in God, you will receive a reward. And it's not building a kingdom for yourself here. It's building a place for yourself in God's kingdom. That's the hope that we have. My faith is in that. My faith is not the success I have today. My faith is in the fact that one day I'm going to be with the Savior in His kingdom serving Him. And that's, I can bank on that. I don't care what happens to me here. I can bank on that. So if faith is so important, how do we grow in our faith? I'm just going to give you some steps here. The first thing that we do is we meditate on the character and power of God. So you got to remember who God is. This is the God of the universe. He can do anything. He spoke the universe into existence. He raised Jesus from the dead. Raised Himself from the dead. This is the God that we serve. There's nothing that He cannot do. So if I put my faith in Him, it's a good, solid rock on which I can put my faith. And we need to meditate that on and remind ourselves. It says in 1 John 4, verse 3, it says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from dead, God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in this world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." Satan's got nothing. All those little arrows, it's just noise, unless you give into it. If you stand firm in faith, you cannot be hurt. That's what God's saying here. You can stand firm. But you've got to have faith in the God that we serve. Greater, He is greater. He is not. You know, there are some religions that teach that Jesus and the devil are brothers. They're on the same level. Uh-uh. Jesus is King. He's so far above Satan. His power is so much greater than Satan. If He's on our side, we're good. Number two, you need to keep your eyes on the prize. And again, what have we been talking about? What did Abraham, where were his eyes? They were on the kingdom of God. That was where his eyes, when he was about to sacrifice his son, he was thinking God's kingdom. He wasn't thinking my kingdom. He wasn't thinking about my ancestry or building my family. He was thinking about God and His kingdom. So we need to keep our eyes on that. It says in James 1:12, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." As if you love Him, you're going to live. That doesn't mean our earthly bodies, but spiritually, eternally, we're going to live with God. Keep your eye on the prize, because that's the real prize. Listen, nobody in eternity is going to be sitting up there in heaven going, "Oh man, I wish I had, you know, bought that fancy car," you know, "Oh man, I wish I had gotten that house," or, "Oh man, I wish I'd really had that retirement all settled," you know. No one's going to be in heaven thinking about those things. This world will fade away. It will fade away, and what we'll be left with is the promise of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Remind yourself what God has done. As I listen to us praying all the time, and I love it. When I came to this church, that was one of the most exciting things for me, was the fact that this church is praying together. And as we pray, we are going to see God come through in some of these things, and miracles happen. We're going to see those Abraham moments happen, and we need to remember those things. We need to make sure that we don't forget them. Because a lot of the times the negative stuff and the bad stuff, we let override the fact that there's a lot of good stuff here. There are people here today that have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. That's something to be celebrated. And when we remember those things, that can help our faith, and it can strengthen our faith so that we can get through times that seem to be really crazy. But you know what? They're not crazy. God is in control. Nehemiah 9:17 It says, this is talking about the children of Israel, what they did wrong. It says, they refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds, which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. These are people who were under the Egyptian rule, and they were beaten, and they were slaves, and they had to make bricks. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that they had to do. They get out in the desert, and they forgot all the wondrous miracles that God had done to get them to where they are. And they lost faith in God. So in your daily life, listen, if you have to write down, have a journal. Hey, this happened to me. God did this today. And look back on that thing and meditate on the things that God has already done and be thankful. Be grateful for the things that God has already done. And when we do that, it's going to grow our faith. Abraham had plenty of those moments in his life, right? He could look back and say, God did this. And now he had one more. God stopped my hand. He could look back on that the rest of his life knowing that God was good. He stopped his hand. And then obey God. As Abraham did not wait to obey God, he didn't even argue with God. He just got up the next morning and he did it. And sometimes we need to look at what we're doing in our life and just say, if I want to strengthen my faith, I've got to obey God. Because we're not going to learn anything if we don't obey God. And then something bad happens, which will happen if you don't obey God. But if we're obeying God and we see God come through over and over again and see the goodness that is brought through that, that's going to strengthen our faith. It gives us more experience. But if you don't obey God, you're never going to see that. People are afraid to obey God. This seems weird. It's going to make me weird. It's going to, you know, make people not like me. And you know, people might laugh at me. But if you obey God, you're going to see God be faithful. And again, remembering the kingdom that we're building. We're not building our kingdom here on this world. It doesn't matter. What really matters is what's beyond. The only thing that matters here is that we bring as many people into that kingdom as we can. And that's what God's called us to do, isn't it? It's part of obeying God. But in the little things, we need to obey God and trust Him. And then stretch yourself. It says in Hebrews 5, 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." So, you know, we have a call as Christians. We have a great responsibility as Christians. If you want to grow your faith, you've got to stretch yourself and step out and answer that call. What he's saying is, listen, you guys are just babies. You're not really stretching yourself. You're not really growing. You're just coming to church and getting the Word of God. And, oh, yeah, it sounds good. And then I go out the next day and nothing changes. But listen, just as God responds to faith, faith responds to God. If I have faith, I'm going to respond to the call of God. And the call of God is to make disciples. It's not just to live a good life. People need Jesus. People need to be in that kingdom. And if we're going to exercise our faith, which is going to make it stronger, we need to get that in our heads very clearly. That's what we're here for. Every one of us is called to do that. Not just me. Not just people who are called to be teachers. We are called to reach people in our life on a daily basis and tell them what has happened to us. And as we do that and we see God working in those circumstances, it will grow your faith. Because many times I've stretched my hand out to people and I've talked to them about Jesus and, you know, I didn't think anything was going to happen. And then something happens. And I'm like, oh, God came through. See, I learned that God responds to my faith. And then as my faith grows, my faith needs to respond to that call, because there's something important that we're doing, church. Our mission here is to build God's kingdom, not our own. Amen? Okay, so I've got a plan, or a start of a plan. This is just one little thing. I made some cards. These are like little business cards. And this just is an invite to church. It's an invite to get here. And I got a whole bunch of them. I got 1,000 of them, okay? And I'm gonna have my daughter and my wife just kind of hand these out to anybody who wants them. You can start now, okay? And I want to challenge you to grow your faith and to step out. And for some of you guys, it's going to be easy because you've been doing this all your life. You've been talking to people about Jesus all your life. But for some of you, this is going to be one of the hardest things you can possibly do, is actually find someone that you know and say, hey, we come to church? But I challenge you to step out on faith and do that. Because God wants to save people. He will respond to your faith. And you're going to see him move. And some people might throw the card away. You'll never see it again. But you know what? Some people might say, you know what? I'll try it. And they're going to come here. And next week, we're going to talk about salvation. So I challenge you guys this week to exercise your faith, to step out, to believe that God is going to do something. Can y'all do that with me? Awesome. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us as things are being passed out. Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are faithful to us, and that we can put our faith in you, that we have that shield that we can hold up against the devil and against everything that he's trying to do. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you put in our hearts, place in our hearts just names and people that need you, that need to get into a church body that loves them, because I know that's what they're going to find here, because this is a church that loves people. And I pray, Lord, that as we respond in faith, that you just meet us there, and that you prepare people's hearts, you prepare people's minds to receive these little cards. And as we watch the next few weeks and the next few months, people trickle in because of the efforts that we make. I just pray that we can minister to them and love them. And Lord, again, just thank you for your son. And thank you for the sacrifice that he's made and the fact that we even have a chance because of you to live with you eternally in your kingdom. Thank you so much for that. And I pray that if there's anybody in this room today that is wanting to find you and get closer to you, wanting to experience that faith that's going to bring them to salvation, I pray that they, during this next song, that they come up and they just talk to one of us, and we'll help them in that situation, Lord. And I just pray that you give them the strength and the courage to do that and to step out in faith. I just pray that if there's anybody in this room today that feels like maybe, you know, they've just been drinking too much milk, they need to eat some solid food and get out there and really put their faith in you and trust that you're going to lead them to people that they can help and change and minister to, I pray that they just solidify that in their hearts so that they can go out into this world and be your disciples. I love you so much. Thank you for this church, and thank you for this opportunity to speak for you. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray. Amen. Amen.